Hi, I'm Scott Watson, and this is What Music Means to Me. When you hear the term classical music, you probably think of any serious art music played by orchestras, string quartets, pianists, or any other concert performers. And you'd be right, since that is one common use of the word. But more correctly, classical music with a capital C refers to music written in Europe during a musical style period that lasted from approximately 1750 through 1825 or 1830. From this classical period emerged the works of composers such as Franz Joseph Haydn, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and Ludwig van Beethoven. In this episode of What Music Means to Me, we'll examine classical music's order and drama. So, what do the composers I've mentioned have in common that other composers do not, such as Johann Sebastian Bach, who is a Baroque period composer, or Peter Tchaikovsky, who is a Romantic period composer? Well, there is a lot we could talk about, but the big picture is that each of these composers gave new musical voice to the artistic sensibilities of classical Rome and Greece. Think about pretty much any of the cultural achievements of classical Roman Greece, and you can find a musical analog in Haydn or Mozart. For example, classical thinkers such as Aristotle and Plato dealt heavily in the use of logic, presenting ordered, rational dialogues and arguments for both philosophical and mathematical concepts. This emphasis can be seen in the architectural symmetry of almost any Greek or Roman building. If you look at the facades of a structure such as the Parthenon, you'll notice balance. If there are six columns on the left side, there will be six columns on the right side, and so on. Consequently, classical composers like Haydn and Mozart used balance and symmetry in their musical structures. For instance, many classical melodies can be broken into two phrases of equal length and involve much repetition. The first phrase is called the antecedent phrase, and the second phrase is called the consequent phrase. Together, the entire melody constitutes a melodic period. If the period is 8 measures long, the antecedent and consequent phrases will each be 4 measures long. This melody, from a piano sonata by Haydn, is typical. Let me play it for you twice. First, I'll call out the measure numbers from 1 through 8. Here we go. Measure 1. Measure 2. Measure 3, measure 4, measure 5, measure 6, measure 7, and measure 8. Notice how similar measures 1 through 4 are to measures 5 through 8. Here it is again. I'll point out both the antecedent phrase and the consequent phrase as they occur so you can appreciate the balance and repetition in the music. Antecedent phrase. Consequent phrase. Of course, this is but one example, and of course there are many exceptions to this idea of balance, especially in the classical music of Beethoven, who was famous for breaking the rules and foreshadowing the Romantic style period to come. If you'd like to learn more about the importance of repetition in music, I encourage you to listen to episode 17 of this podcast, which deals much more on that topic. Drama was another area the classical composers thoroughly exploited from classical Greek culture. Elements of Greek drama you would recognize from your high school or college literature course include conflict and resolution. The conflict usually comes from the play's two main characters, the protagonist and the antagonist. Often the conflict between these two reaches a climax near the end, followed by what is called a denouement, in which things are resolved and wrapped up for the audience. All these elements of Greek drama have their place in the flagship form of the classical music style period, the sonata allegro form, sometimes just called sonata form. This formal arrangement was used in the first movement of just about every symphony, string quartet, and piano sonata written in the 75 or so years of the classical style period. Most of these movements were fast, hence the use of the term allegro. Allegro, by the way, is Italian for bright or happy, and you may recall it is also the musical expression for fast tempo or speed Let's look at each of the elements of Greek drama that I mentioned and find their analogy in classical sonata allegro form. To do this, we'll be listening to excerpts from Mozart's Symphony No. 40 in G minor, Movement 1. The musical characters that assume the dramatic roles of protagonist and antagonist are the two main themes, called the principal theme and the secondary theme. All sonata allegro movements introduce these musical characters at the beginning of the piece, and for dramatic purposes, they are very contrasting musically. This contrast is part of what sets up the conflict of the piece. In Mozart's Symphony No. 40, Movement 1, the principal theme is minor and includes large melodic leaps, but it is in the key of the symphony, in this case, G minor. Let's listen. The secondary theme, on the other hand, is in a different, major key and has a smooth chromatic line. Let's listen to that. The opening of a sonata movement during which these two themes are presented is called the exposition. It is when our two main musical characters are introduced or exposed to the listener. The exposition also includes some other musical devices. For instance, there is usually some brief transition music between when you hear the principal theme and when you hear the secondary theme. This is when the composer inconspicuously modulates the music from the first key, called the tonic key, to a closely related second key for the second theme. By the end of the exposition, there is usually some closing music in this new key to bring the section to a close. Let's listen to the exposition of the first movement of Mozart's Symphony No. 40 in G minor. You can listen for the drama of these themes, and I'll narrate to help you out. Here we go. Principal theme. This is just another statement of the principal theme. Transition music, which moves us to the second theme key. Secondary theme in the new key. Now we begin some closing music to end the section. There's the exposition. If you were to listen to this piece in its entirety, you would notice that what follows what we've just heard is an exact repetition of what we've just heard. In other words, the exposition of most sonata allegro forms are repeated. But let's move on. The second section of sonata allegro form is called the development. During this section, the composer works out the main thematic ideas presented in the exposition. He does this by reaching into his composer's bag of tricks and employing all sorts of techniques. Fragments of the themes are usually quoted in various keys or repeated at different pitch levels. Often one theme is pitted against another theme in a sort of musical argument back and forth. Sometimes a theme or a fragment is altered to create new musical material to work with. Also remember that the development began where the exposition left off, in a key that is not the main key of the piece. The development explores the musical potential of the themes and creates tension that begs for resolution. The final event of the development is called the retransition. It is basically a musical anticipation of the return to the main key of the piece, the tonic. So, the development intensifies the conflict between the principal and secondary themes and the tonal tension by moving to various keys. By the end of the development section, however, we can see ahead of us, during the retransition, that resolution and a return to the home key is in sight. Let's listen to the development section of Mozart's Symphony No. 40, Movement 1, as I narrate. Listen to how the second theme is used as a transition to the first theme. But now we're changing key already, still in the first theme. And we're moving down in pitch level again, still in the first theme. This is sort of a fugue or an imitative counterpoint section based on the first theme. Still working out portions or fragments of the first theme with repetition and sequence. But as Mozart continues to use these first three notes of the theme, he is effecting a retransition to the original key. Notice how seamlessly we find ourselves back to what sounds like the beginning of the piece. And there we are. The final section of a sonata allegro form is called the recapitulation. That word means to restate the main points. And that's exactly what a classical composer does. He restates the main themes. The recapitulation is a repeat of the exposition, but with one important difference. This time, the secondary theme stays in the same key, the tonic, as the principal theme. In this way, the composer is saying to us, the conflict that once existed has now been resolved. The recapitulation also satisfies a classical sense of balance by providing a return to the music of the first section. The overall formal architecture of sonata allegro form, then, if you use letter names to represent sections, is a giant A, B, A form. It doesn't get much more classical than that. Let's listen to the end of the development section and into the beginning of the recapitulation of the first movement of Mozart's Symphony No. 40. See if you can feel the dramatic tension released in the return to the familiar musical characters and the tonic or home key. Ah, and now we're back. There is so much more we could say about sonata allegro form, like the way many composers add what is called a coda section at the very end of the movement to wrap things up. But our time is out. I hope you will listen to the opening movement of classical symphonies with new ears, ears that will perceive the musical drama playing itself out with the characters of the principal and secondary themes, from the exposition, through the development, and concluding in the recapitulation. I love it when a cool formal plan like sonata allegro form lurks beneath the surface of music. Of course, it really isn't necessary to know about sonata form in order to fall in love with Mozart or Beethoven. Many listeners have done just that. But I always find that it heightens my appreciation for music when it is both sensually appealing on the surface and it has a solid musical foundation underneath. Usually music like this isn't just music for its own time, but rather music of lasting worth that will be heard centuries beyond its day. I know you have a lot to do, so thank you for taking time to learn what music means to me. I hope music is and stays a part of your life. Until next time, stay in tune.